This is an interview with Lady Helen Broughton at her own home. I have been asked to do the interview. I am David Paget, called in 1967, a criminal practitioner until 1997, when I became an Old Bailey judge. I retired in 2012, and I'm a bencher of Inner Temple. Helen, may I begin by asking you, please, about the start? And there are four aspects that I wanted just to touch on, but please feel free to say anything you wish. You were, your maiden name was Helen Mary Shore.
Yes, S-H-O-R-E.
S-H-O-R-E. And that's the name, obviously, in which you were called.
Indeed.
And could you tell us about your call and your admission to Inner Temple?
Yes. Well, when I was at school at Rodin, I loved this book by Sir Edward Marshall Hall. I absolutely loved that, and I read and read it and saw that he had been a member of the Inner Temple. So I thought, well, that is what I want to do. So I wrote to the Inner Temple, and they said, yes, you can't be a member of the Inner until you're 18. So I made arrangements that I could be a member of the Inner Temple on my 18th birthday. So my mother came up from Cheshire with all the correct paperwork, references, so forth, big check, apparently. So then I was made a member of the Inner on my 18th birthday at midday. So I don't suppose anybody else has been a member quite so punctiliously on the 18th birthday, who knows, but that's my history anyway.
How wonderful. And then you were called to the bar in, I think, 1951.
Yes.
And you've just shown me the list of those called with you, and there was only one other woman.
Yes.
Called Anne Fox.
Fox, yes.
And do you remember anything about her?
No, I never saw her again, no.
I'm afraid, being so junior, by comparison, I can't help about that.
No, some of the men I might have known, contemporaries, I suppose they were. William Bell, he was an MP. He's at the top of that list. And McEwan, he was one of Helsham's pupils. He died, I won't say how, rather sadly. I think that's all I knew, really.
Fascinating. And then you became a pupil of Lord Helsham.
No, I then became a pupil of Sandon's chambers, which were Midland Circuit chambers in London.
I see.
And Bill Whittingstall very kindly helped me, or a friend of friends. He found this set of chambers where there was someone who wanted a girl pupil. Nobody really had ever thought of having a girl pupil. But there's a very nice James Mill, who was in Paul Sandon's chambers. Paul Sandon's was the court of Birmingham, you probably remember. So that was very nice, you know, and I was his pupil.
Wonderful. And what is the connection with Lord Helsham?
Ah, well, then he comes afterwards, because then Cornight came.
Yes.
I had my first case in front of Aylesbury Magistrates Court. And the judge was Singleton and Morris. Who was the other one? I asked her to find out. I can't remember. Very famous. And he was sitting as chairman of the Aylesbury Magistrates Court. So, and I'd been called the night before. And he said, oh, good morning, Helen. I said, good morning. You've seen it. You can only call them sir, can't you, when it's a magistrate's thing. But
yes,
I mean, he was
yes.
The Lord Justice and had been for many years, so I had to call him sir. He looked at me and I looked at him. And it was a very good case, really, because it was a tramp who'd put his hand through the window and took a ham sandwich. So, of course, I got him off without calling him. I said, because the prosecution had said that he had stolen it. But the window was open, so how could he have stolen it? So I said to this judge who was sitting in his chair, I close the case. I'm not calling my defendant, my accountant at all. So he said, oh, yes. So he said to the jury, she may, because I was called the night before. And so he said, she may be only a legal sibling, but you've seen with what dexterity and something she's handled her case. No case to answer. And all the jury came out and shook hands with me.
Yeah. What a wonderful start.
That was my first case. Yeah.
And then Lord Hailsham?
Well, Lord Hailsham, yes, I met him at a dinner party because my boyfriend and was the his father was the local MP and his mother was Patrick Hastings' daughter. And they were great friends, you know, with Quinton, etc. And so they said, oh, we haven't come to dinner. And you could ask him if you could be his pupil, because it would be much nicer for me, because the Sandals Chamber, sometimes I had to get up at 6 a.m. and catch a train from St. Pancras up to Birmingham, because that was the Middle Circuit, you know, and I had one or two horrible episodes when I was put in bed by the clerk because I had to stay overnight and had to sleep in my mink coat because it was so cold and wet. So, you know, anyway, and Quinton and I got on immediately. It was the most extraordinary thing. And I said, do you think I could be your pupil? And I said, in afterlife, you nearly fell off your chair. He said, no, I did not at all. What he said was, go and see my clerk, Sidney Ayliff, and see what Sidney said. So I gave Sidney an opinion written, and he said, oh, yes, you can join our chamber, just you'd like you to. No other woman there in sight or anything, you know. He said, there is one caveat. I said, oh, dear, what is it? That you do not use our lavatories. So I said, I wouldn't dream of using your lavatories, because I said, I hear them. I mean, Quinton could be giving a conference and we're, but the Inner Temple had put in a very nice pink ladies' room, obviously for Bench's wives, but I therefore assumed I was fully entitled to use it, which I did. So I said to him, I mean, I wouldn't dream, thank you all the same, of using yours. I just walk a little bit further down and use the new pink loo for ladies in the Inner Temple.
How wonderful. And you mentioned his clerk, Sidney Aylett. And can I just ask you, there's a wonderful little mention of you in his book, Under the Wigs, published in, let me just look at the front of it, published in 1978, in which he says this, describing his various boys, as he called them, because of course most of them would have been boys, but amongst them he says, having mentioned several boys, he mentions you by name, and he says, of you, Helen Shaw, who later married Sir Dulles Broughton, Baronet. She was a talented lawyer who was just too beautiful and enchanting to have been left alone to make a career at the bar. So may I just ask you about that? And can I, before I do that, I know that there are two of our most senior benchers, Michael Morland and Oliver Popplewell.
Oh, I know Oliver Popplewell, yes, very sweet.
Michael Morland told me this only the other day. He said, when we were bar students, we used always, if we could, to sit with Helen Shaw, because not only was she very pretty, but she often bought us an extra bottle of wine.
Oh, right. Oh, well. I'm glad about that. Anyway, yeah.
But you don't remember Michael Morland?
No.
No.
Yeah.
He went on to become a High Court judge, as did Oliver Popplewell, of course.
Oh, yes, yes. And, Oliver's wife, as you know, is an old Rodine girl now.
Yes.
The treasurer of the inner. Oh, yes, the, yes, yes,
yes.
Elizabeth Gloucester.
Yes. So, Helen, can we just continue with the story? You married, I think, in 1955.
Yes, correct.
So you practiced until then, did you?
Yes.
And then what happened?
Oh, well, then Evelyn had this lovely estate in Cheshire and North Staffordshire, so it suited me to be opening bazaars and so forth. Yes. And then, of course, I had to produce some children. So life carried on socially the same, as it were. And he was very nice to any of my friends from the bar who happened to get in touch or anything like that. You know, he wasn't frightened of them.
Well, wonderful. So you left the bar, but you didn't leave the law because...
Absolutely. Because, as you know yourself, when you join... you join all the things, the golfing society, the this and that, the music society, debating, so of course I joined them all, actually, and in particular the tennis, and they always sent me the AGM particulars, where it would be and where and everything. The others failed out because I didn't follow them up, but I did follow the other ones because I knew Lord Dunboyne, who'd been also a burly judge, and he'd been at Eton and the Irish Guards with Evelyn, but they didn't like each other at all. But anyway, so when there was this divorce, but I went to all the things, and Paddy said at the AGM, now he said, we've had an invitation to go and play on Long Island against the Americans. And we need somebody to do this and arrange it and pay for it and everything. I think it should be Helen Broughton. All hands up. And all these Mavericks put their hands up. And I said, but Paddy, what do you think I'm going to do? He said, well, darling, it's over to you. I mean, you know, they said you've got to do it, so you've got to do it. And I said, right. So I rang up a godson who was at Eton, but he played cricket. I said, do anyone who plays tennis? Said, well, there is one person. So he mentioned somebody. So I rang him up, spoke to his mother, and said, do you mind if I go to Long Island with your son? And so it was. So in the end, I did get six, and we did very well. One of them, Nicholas Hilliard, was one of my team I took.
Really? How very interesting. So that's the Bar Lawn Tennis Association.
Oh, yes. So then when I came back, Fred Lawson Paddy sent me things saying, you must be vice president. So I've always been vice president. I don't know, how long is it? 50 years or something?
Goodness. And you still are.
And still am. Look at all these things. You see, I present cups the whole time on their behalf.
Goodness, how wonderful. Yes. And the present chairman is Lord Mapps.
Yes, yes. Well, he was, of course, when I first started, he was just secretary of the Bar Lawn Tennis. And then one of them wanted a Lord Justice in the adjacent chambers. And I wrote to Paddy, and I said, it's very unfair. I said, I've never had lunch, tea, drink, flutter my eyelashes at Jonathan Mapps, but he's worked for the society, you know. And I think he ought to be chairman. Then Paddy rang up a few days later and said, oh, Helen, you're quite right. I said, it must be Jonathan Mapps. So we got rid of the Lord Justice in the adjacent chambers. And so, and then naturally, Jonathan sailed to the top, you know, very sweet, plays tennis, and as it should be.
Well, you've mentioned two names. Paddy is Paddy Dunboyne.
Of course, yes. Yes,
who was a great tennis player himself.
Yes.
Wasn't he?
And then old Bailey Todd.
I remember appearing in front of him as a youngster. And you also mentioned Fred Lawton.
Yes, yes. Who, he was a dear.
Well, he was a remarkable man, wasn't he? And he was Margaret Thatcher's pupil master.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then went on to become a Lord Justice of Appeal.
Yes. Well, I kept up, you know, with him, as you might say. He used to come to dinner parties, and people were so thrilled to meet him because he's very charming. His wife had died, you know, and a very sweet old boy.
Oh, wonderful. And then you've shown me that in 1959 you were appointed a Justice of the Peace for the County of Chester.
Correct.
And could you tell us about that?
Well, I thought I had just said that, yes, I was delighted, naturally, and honoured and thrilled, and find it very interesting. But when I was first appointed, there were nobody who was legally qualified at all.
Including the clerk?
Including the clerk. He was qualified by what they call experience. But it wasn't legal experience. It was just, you know, interviewing witnesses and doing it. Anyway, no, I enjoyed that very much indeed, yes. But when I left, as it were, left Cheshire, as it turned out, sort of thing, I didn't sit again as a magistrate. But I thought I'd done my fair amount, you know. Well, always on time. And the great thing was, when my little son died, age two, it was heartbreaking. But that morning I went to the bench and they all stood up and had 2 minutes silence for little Johnny Evelyn. I thought that was very touching.
And Cheshire, it was the county of appointment because where you lived was,
yes,
Doddington Hall, was it?
Yes, yes. Yes, in the gardens in Doddington Hall, which is a vast place, you know.
How wonderful. And then I think next, could I ask you, because it's of topical interest as we speak, in a temple, have in mind to try to complete Sir Hubert Worthington's plans for the Treasury building and the hall by adding a mansard roof and dormer windows and so on, which couldn't be done in 1952 because the money ran out.
Yes.
And it may be that that will now be done. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because you, in fact, knew the Worthington family.
Extremely well. Is there any more? Have we finished that? No. What I don't understand is, when I, for 8 years, I ate, as you know, in the hall,
yes,
at the same table, because the steward had said to me, third on the left, miss, you know, because I said to him, I am a member of the inn. He said, oh, I see, you know. I said, where should I sit? He said, third on the left. So I went there and I sat there for the whole of the 8 years that I actually practiced and around, you know. But that was quite different from where I think it's where the it wasn't where I was went to the call after I'd been called. I mean, long time ago, Robin asked me to go to. I mean, when I was there, it was all quite different, geographically and whatnot.
Were you in what was called the Niblett Hall?
Yes. Yes.
Because that's after the original hall was bombed.
That's right. That's the where I was, wasn't it?
Everyone had to move to the Niblett Hall.
Yes.
Until the new hall was built.
Yes. But I think it was the Niblett Hall, wasn't it, when I would have lunch and
it would have been, and yes.
Yes. And the library was just there too, wasn't it?
Well, I believe so, but I am by repute. Yes. I do remember the Niblett Hall. That too has gone in our set of chambers. But
yeah.
I did some exams in the Niblett Hall.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
a great pity we lost it.
A lot of eating in the Niblett Hall.
A lot of eating. Yeah. And were called in it.
Goodness. Yes. Yes. Must have been called in the Niblett Hall, wasn't I? Yes.
I think so. And King George VI was treasurer. At one point.
Yes, well, it was John Singleton who called me.
Who called you?
And he very sweetly came round the table afterwards and said, I give you this. And it was his book, Conduct of the Bar, which he signed for me. It's very sweet, you know.
How wonderful. How wonderful. Just dealing about your, dealing with the question of your call, how did that happen? Because I know recently you went to a call.
I know, it was lovely, yes.
Was it all very different from
well,
your
was,
day?
I mean, I went to the call night the other night. It was absolutely crowded of people. No, my call night with Singleton called us. Well, you know yourself, you can see a very small number of people, 25 people, 24 men, 24 men, myself and one other lady, mm-hmm. Yeah, 26. So it was nothing special. I don't think we even had a special dinner to eat or anything. I think I went out to dinner afterwards. It was just a ceremony. You just shook hands with John Single and heaven there.
The treasure, right.
The treasure, yeah. But there was nothing special about
nothing
it.
Nothing special.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think it's gone through various transformations, but now, as you will have seen, it's rather different.
I know, I did see, yes.
Well, how fascinating. Helen, I think really that's all I particularly wanted to ask you about. Is there anything you wish to add?
Well, I just wish to add my heart and soul is still in the temple. I love it. And I go occasionally, as you know, to the Pegasus restaurant. I don't actually lunch with the students. It's rather awful of me. Well, I mean, it's awful. It's my way I'm ahead. But so many of my friends are benchers. Some new, you know, they're all very sweet and kind. I love it.
Well, I'm sure we're all very pleased to have you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And thank you very much indeed for this interview, which has been fascinating.
Oh, thank you for being such a kind interviewer. So delighted to meet you.
Helen, we ended the interview a few minutes ago, but you've just added there was something you'd like to add. So may we do that?
Yes. Well, I would just like to say, in the newspaper one reads, and all these cases coming up, men allegedly groping females and all that sort of thing. Never in my whole, now is it 55 years there or something, and never as a young, pretty student or anything like that, has ever anything happened. All the people, all the men, always been perfect gentlemen, and I think I would like to say that.
Well, thank you for adding that.